Hi everyone, welcome to the Last Sisyphus Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Jones, and today I would like to talk about the concept of nihilism. Today, I would like to briefly discuss the concept or the idea of nihilism. I am sure the majority of us are familiar with the term or have at least heard someone mention it before. And it's because it has been used in such a multitude of ways throughout history that I think it's worthwhile to discuss. As a committed student of the absurdist philosophy, nihilism can kind of be seen as the jaded cousin of absurdism, with deep-set eyes always kind of frowning. The general consensus, at least among younger people today, is that the term nihilism springs from the intellectual thought of Friedrich Nietzsche. And while Nietzsche certainly did discuss the potential fallout of what he understood to be nihilism, he was not the first individual to pioneer the term. According to the Online Britannica, nihilism was initially a philosophy of moral and epistemological skepticism that cropped up in Russia during the reign of Tsar Alexander II in the 19th century. It was a term used to denote the gradual decay of traditional morality that had such a strong stranglehold on Western society for many, many centuries. Nihilism became a popular term after the publication of Ivan Turgenev's novel Fathers and Sons, which was published in 1862. The term was used in the novel as a way to describe a clinical form of scientism supported by the character Bazarov, who advocated for a form of total negation. In other words, it was a term used to call into question the cultural and societal norms that the West had held in such high esteem. And it's only natural once this questioning happens to imagine what might take the place of these norms, if anything at all. By the 20th century, nihilism had become a kind of philosophical and aesthetic touchstone, where the possibility of moral truths and values were bumped from their place on the mountaintop. Eventually, it came to be understood as a philosophical position that suggested there was no meaning or purpose in life, or even in the universe. It is not difficult to see how nihilism could easily become a philosophy of resignation and fatalism. If there is no meaning in the world, why do anything at all? Why even get up in the morning? Why go to our jobs or get married or have children? If there is no meaning to all this, this life, this existence, it is purposeless to do anything at all. And this is perhaps where I may take a separate route than some other people. While I do recognize that nihilism is a useful tool, much like a hammer or a drill, it is not a sufficient philosophical destination. To settle on nihilism as the final philosophical resting place would be like bulldozing your own house and suggesting that the open air that now takes its place is your new home. But no reasonable person would conclude such a thing. The only rational reason we would bulldoze our own house is if we plan to build something better in its place. Nihilism was never an intellectual destination to be arrived at. It was used as a touchstone on the way to something else, hopefully something better. Mikhail Bakunin, a Russian anarchist who lived from 1814 to 1876, used nihilism as a way to call into question the Russian values and virtues of family, church, and state. What Bakunin wanted in place of those values and virtues was for the individual to achieve a form of freedom to choose, instead of being forced into this or that cultural or societal framework. The problem, of course, is that freedom is too broad of a destination. The essence of freedom, at least in my opinion, is paralysis. It is no wonder why Jean-Paul Sartre said that humans are condemned to be free. Freedom is a breath of fresh air when you're not free, absolutely. But once you are free, freedom devolves into a kind of intellectual paralysis. When every choice is weighed the same, how does one logically assess which way is the most optimal? I am not convinced there is a good answer to this question. And it appears Sartre did not find a way out of this quagmire either. If we ingest nihilism, it transports us to a barren wasteland, with no signposts or hint of direction. To fully embrace nihilism is, really, to be flash-frozen in time, with no ability to navigate the world. It is a peculiar form of philosophical dissociation. It is, quite literally, the achievement of absolute nothingness. To fully embrace nihilism, in my opinion, is worse than solipsism. And it's worse than the proposition that all reality is a mere simulation. I maintain that none of us want nihilism. Even though we can be nihilistic about certain things in different situations in life, I don't think that any of us truly want nihilism. While we may not want to labor under the direction of a society that says you must attend church or enlist in the military, surely we can offer up alternatives. And it's in offering alternatives that we can sufficiently evade the wasteland of nihilism. As someone who spends a good amount of time online, I have seen so many people become resigned to the state of the world, given the political situations manifesting throughout the world. With the conflict going on in Ukraine, and then the more recent conflict in the Middle East, it can be easy to just assume that things are going to hell in a handbasket. But to become resigned, to become fatalistic, to become nihilistic about the future of the world, our world, is neither helpful nor original. We have always been on the cusp of Armageddon. Just think about it. Anything that you've learned throughout history, we've always been on the cusp of the world ending. No, we haven't always had nuclear weapons, but there's always been a power that has threatened the survival of other people. None of this is new. There's always been war, there's always been suffering, there's always been strife, and there's always been disappointment. There are plenty of nihilistic mechanisms at work today in virtually all of our cultures, but there's not much being offered in its place. I believe that that's what we're missing. We, as a global community, not an American, not a Canadian, not a Mozambican, but a global community, we need to find something really deep within ourselves to find what we want the world to look like in 10 years, in 20 years, 100 years from now. And while the answer to that is perhaps, you know, not on the tip of any of our tongues at the moment, one thing has to be for certain. We must reject a nihilistic future where we are all aimlessly wandering through a barren wasteland, having dashed all future possibilities of a better world to rubble. No philosopher has seriously stopped at nihilism. Nietzsche was not a nihilist, even though a lot of people online claim that he was. He wasn't a nihilist, though he talked about it a lot. No serious philosopher has ever stopped at nihilism. And this is because nihilism is not a stop sign, but it's a caution light, and it's time that we start treating it as such. And despite all of the problems that are going on in the world, in your own personal life, or on a global scale, or what have you, everything is going to be okay in the end, even if it's not.